Well, thank you very much. What an incredible day to be at Grace Hill. Your pastor called and he asked, he said, could you be a part of a 4-week series, Man Up? And he said, would you be there on Father's Day? I said, that would be great. And the reason is because my mind races on a day like today to a story of a young man named Junior. Now, he was named after his father, so Junior became his handle. Junior only made it through the 8th grade. He was always at issue with school and things that were going on in his school. But he was sharp enough that the military accepted him. This young man whose temper got him in more trouble than we want to talk about. Now in the United States Air Force, he begins to look for that partner. We watched the wedding slides. And he found this beautiful 15-year-old who had been abandoned by her mother and raised in foster care. Absolutely drop-dead gorgeous, but who trained her in wife skills? Parenting skills? Her mother abandoned her. Her sister rejected her. How many think she brought a few things into that marriage? But when he said those magic words, I love you, which we all want to hear, the next day after their wedding, they left for the base where he was stationed, and life began. And boy, did life begin. There were issues, and then there was sickness that caused him to lose his hearing, and they had him leave the military because he couldn't stay any longer in the condition and do his job, and so they started their own business. And there was the difficulty of starting a business and trying to be successful. And then, how do you solve marital problems? Get pregnant. And now Junior's got to be a father and run a business and keep the business going and make more money because now you got a child. And then there's a second baby, only the second baby is not born healthy and turns blue in the crib, and now the second baby might die. And he came to a church like Grace Hill. And when he came, he became familiar with the character that we're going to look at today. I want you to look with me at the end of the life of the man named Joseph. Look in Genesis chapter 50 with me. Look at what it says about this man named Joseph. Now, let me ask you a question here. What were some troubles, some difficulties, some problems that went on in Joseph's life and God was totally silent and seemed to be absent when he went through them?
Rejected by his brothers.
Sold into slavery. Now that'll set you free. Prison. When he didn't do anything. Falsely accused. Lied about. It's interesting because Junior wasn't interested in manning up and following the Bible. And the reason Junior wasn't interested in manning up and following the Bible is the reason that most men don't man up and follow the Bible. It's not because they have intellectual issues. You know, I meet very few men who want to argue the intellectual issues of the Bible. Well, I'd serve God, but I've got this intellectual issue. I meet very few men who want to argue with me the miracles of the Bible. Well, I'd follow the Bible, I'd man up and follow the Bible, but I don't believe in the miracles. Here's what I hear. Most men, just like Junior, don't man up and follow the Bible because they know something that went on in their life that was wrong, or something that went on in somebody else's life that was wrong, and where was God when the trouble came? Or they'll tell me, I prayed and nothing happened. They tell me personal stories. They don't tell me intellectual arguments, unbelief about this or that in the Bible. It's personal stories. Where was God? Where was God? And so when Junior came in and became familiar with Joseph, Joseph had plenty of opportunities where God seemed to be absent. And if he wasn't absent, he was surely silent. See, the story of Joseph includes this silence from God during troubled times, but God was not absent. The story of Joseph contains God's hiddenness during times of trouble, but it doesn't show God's impotence. It's interesting, because when things in our life are going the worst, God is working the most. He's working the most for our good when things are going the worst. And if you can't see God working in your life during your worst moments, you're probably missing the most important opportunities of growth for your life. Well, when Junior heard that, he sat up and he paid attention. Sitting there that day with him was his 3-year-old son. His newborn baby was in the hospital. They were unsure if the child would live or die. His wife was sitting there. She had come and surrendered her life to Christ just the day before. Just the day before. Well, that's fine for women, but I'm a man. Joseph had plenty of opportunities to become angry with God, to declare God absent, to declare God silent, all kinds of things that we can look at in his story. And here's what he says at the end of his life. Look at verse 15 and read it with me. It says this. It says that when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, it may be that Joseph will hate us and pay us back for all the evil that we did to him. Now, when you take your brother and you put smear blood on his coat, give it to the father, tell dad that he's dead, but actually you've sold him into slavery, how many of you think you might have some feelings towards those brothers? So they're afraid that he's going to repay them. So they sent a message to Joseph saying, your father gave this command before he died. Say to Joseph, please forgive the transgression of your brothers and their sin because they did evil to you. And now please, please forgive the transgression of the servants of the God of your father. Look at this. And Joseph wept. Joseph wept. Joseph starts crying. Interesting.
His brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servants." But Joseph said to them, look at these verses right here, verse 19, 20, and 21. 19, 20, and 21. "Do not fear, for I am I in the place of God." Do not fear. Am I in the place of God? Say that with me. Do not what?
Fear.
Am I in the place of God? It's an interesting statement, isn't it? Secondly, look at verse 20. "As for you, you meant evil against me, but," say it with me, what statement is that? Am I in the place of God? You meant evil against me, but God meant it for good. And look at verse 21. "So do not fear. You've hurt me. You sold me into slavery. I've been through prison because of you guys. I've been through false accusation. I've been through all kinds of disaster. But I just want you to know, I'll provide for you, and I'll feed you, and I'll feed your kids too." Did you just hear this? He has a chance to get back at his brothers. He doesn't even have to worry about honoring his father. His father's dead now. And his brothers come and basically they say, "Hey, Joseph, Dad, before he died, wanted us to tell us you're supposed to treat us nice." How many of you have a thought in your head that maybe you might have stood up and say, "Treat you nice, huh?" Junior was sitting there reading for the first time the story of Joseph. And he comes to the understanding that I want, and I've asked the Holy Spirit to make very, very real to you today. It's no accident you're here today, sir. I believe God wants you to hear this, because there's been some things that have been said to you and done to you, and they have not been right, and they have not been good. But God is going to show you something that if you'll man up to today, it's going to change your whole future. That's what happened to Junior that day. He saw that these three statements, and I want to just quote to you a commentator on the book of Genesis that I would encourage all of you to read. His name is Derek Kidner. Derek Kidner. And he says this about these three verses, 19, 20, and 21. He says each sentence of Joseph's is a pinnacle of how Christians are to live their faith. Now, pinnacles are interesting things, because what do men like to do? They like to climb mountains. That was Junior. Junior was sitting there that day, and if there was anything that was a challenge, Junior took it on. From the time Junior was a young man, he would take on every challenge. And it's interesting, because he wasn't the firstborn. He was the secondborn in his family. But Junior was the guy that wanted to take on every challenge, and he wanted to take on every situation, and he was going to take on the business world, and he was going to take on this girl that was abandoned, and he marries her as a teenager because Junior could do anything, and Junior could master anything, and Junior could turn anything into money, and Junior could... See, that was Junior. And so when he heard that there were three pinnacles, that if you would climb them, if you would climb these mountains of faith in your life, that you could live in real peace. Maybe you didn't hear me. If you can man up and climb these three pinnacles of faith, here's what Derek Kidder says they are. You ready? He says, you have to leave the righting of one's wrongs to God. Number two, you have to see God working in man's malice and evil towards you. See God working in man's malice and evil that men put on you? And number three, verse 21, look at this. You repay evil with forgiveness and with practical affection or love. Matter of fact, this Bible commentator really rocked my world when he said that if you are going to live in the integrity of calling yourself a Christian, these have to be the three pinnacles that you should be attempting to climb until your death. Wow. This is a pretty important passage of Scripture. How do we man up? How do we man up and climb these pinnacles? Well, I want you to see this, and I want you to understand this real, real quickly, because Junior figured it out. Junior took on these three challenges in his life. He overcame his anger. He overcame his own shortcomings. He overcame his desire, first of all, to sit on God's chair. Now, that's what this first one means. Verse 19, what does Joseph say? He says, I am not God. Do you see it? Verse 19? Here's the first thing you have to do. You have to man up to get off God's chair. Now, men love to sit on God's chair. Are you listening? We as men always want to get on God's chair. Well, how do we get on God's chair? Here's how we get on God's chair. We get on God's chair by taking on our own moral decisions and justifying our actions for our own morality. Do you remember the most famous of Joseph's stories? What was it? When he's tempted by Potiphar's wife. His brothers have sold him into slavery. Now he's living in Potiphar's home, and Potiphar trusts him, and the wife begins to tempt him and says, come on, big boy. Listen to me. When you face difficulties in your life and troubles in your life, and the wife of your boss is saying, hey, I won't tell. But Joseph says what? God's making my moral decisions. Listen to me, men. The moment you decide to make your own moral decisions, you've decided to sit on God's chair. You've decided to sit on God's chair. Genesis chapter 3 is Adam and Eve. You know the story. Now, a lot of men say this to me. They say, I can't live the whole Bible. I can't live the whole Bible. You ever heard that, Pastor? I can't live the whole Bible. Well, let me show you a little story. Adam and Eve. Their Bible could have fit on a fortune cookie at Piet Chang's. Here's what God said. Do whatever you want. Just don't eat of this tree. And guess what?
They ate. Why did they eat? Because Satan came, the serpent came, and said, if you eat of that fruit, you will become like... Oh, if you'll eat of that fruit, the juice will make you like God? No, if you eat of that fruit, you'll be able to say, I'm now sitting in God's chair. See, when you make your own moral decisions, you're falling to the same trap Adam and Eve fell to. Well, I can give, you know, the Bible's outdated. The Bible is not for today. The Bible is kind of primitive. The Bible is, you know, I mean, it was written a long time ago, and we live in a different time now. So the things that the Bible said then mean something different now, because we don't live in, how many of you have ever heard that? Listen to me, men. The moment you start saying that, you're sitting in God's chair. And if you're going to live in the integrity of calling yourself a Christian, you've got to get off God's chair and take the Bible for what it says. The Bible says that sexual immorality is sin. The Bible says pornography is sexual immorality. The Bible says that adultery and fornication, listen, No. It's a new day. It's a different time. Don't you know that things are different today? Can I tell you something? 80 years from now, that generation's going to look back and call you primitive. But the Bible doesn't change. Sin is sin. Unless you decide to sit in God's chair. Well, Junior was hearing that, and he decided to believe the Bible. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. I'm asking you to man up and believe the Bible and quit sitting in God's chair. Look at this. There's another way you can sit in God's chair. The other way to sit in God's chair is when you decide that you're going to try to meet the deepest needs of other people. Now, let me tell you something. I don't have a lot of time, but in 2 Kings 5, Naaman comes to the king of Israel. He's got the disease, leprosy, and he says, heal me. And the king of Israel says, I can't heal you. Am I God? Am I God? Listen, why does he say, am I God? Same reason Joseph does. Because if you sit in God's chair, you start thinking you can meet the needs. And Junior was sitting there thinking, I can't meet the needs of my wife. I can't meet her needs that were messed up when she was a kid. How come we think we can meet the needs of our kids? Yet we think we can. You can't meet the needs of your kids, and you can't meet the needs of your wife, and you can't meet the needs of your husband, and you can't, listen to me, at some point, every couple in this room and every parent in this room needs to look at each other and say these words, only God can meet our needs. Our deepest needs. Do you hear me? Only God can meet your deepest needs. You can't be looking, and you can't be the one trying to provide it, or you're sitting in God's chair. A third way is we start worrying. People are so filled with worry today, yet Jesus said on the Sermon on the Mount, he says, why is it that you're so excessively worried about what you're going to wear and what you're going to eat and whether you're healthy or not? Stop worrying, he says, or you're sitting in my chair because I have made the decision to take care of you. Now, let me tell you something. Junior was sitting there that day, and he thought he had to be the big breadwinner, and he had to make the big business work, and he had to make everything provided for. Let me tell you something. Get out of God's chair and start trusting him. Oh, there's a fourth way you can sit in God's chair. By holding a grudge.
You think Joseph could have held a grudge? Listen, listen.
When you make the decision that you're going to judge other people, I'll tell you what they deserve. You don't have all knowledge. You don't have all power. But who does? Listen, the moment you decide to hold a grudge, you sit in God's chair. Because Romans chapter 12 says, "Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay." Can you trust God, or do you want to get in his chair? No, I'll take care of it. I'll repay it. No, no. God says, get out of my chair. I'll take care of it. Trust me. I want you to see something very, very important here. Not only do we need to get out of God's chair and man up to that, but I want you to also see what he says in verse 20. Look at verse 20, and then I'm going to wrap this up. Joseph says this. He says, what you did to me, God meant for good. If you're going to man up, if you're going to man up, if you're going to man up and really climb this second pinnacle, you have to start seeing everything through God's view, everything through God's eyes. Nothing can happen in your life. Nothing can happen in your life. You say, but I messed up. Let me tell you a little story. Listen, who was Joseph's father? Who was Joseph's father? Jacob. What did Jacob do to his father? He deceived him. Let's not make it that sanitized. I appreciate the female softness. He lied to his dad. Hello. He lied to his dad. Then what did he do to his brother? He lied to him. He sinned. Now listen, because this is going to blow you away. Listen to me. But because he lied to his father and lied to his brother, he found the love of his life and ended up bearing the children, and ultimately his descendant became Jesus the Messiah. Now I know what some of you logical thinkers are saying right now. So you're telling me if I sin, it's okay. Because I can sin and do anything I want to do, and God will turn it good. Listen to me. The pain and the misery that came into Joseph's life because of his sin is incredible. But I will tell you this. There was a wrestling match one night. And if we will repent, God does promise to turn all things to good. If we will trust and see things through God's eyes, does God have a plan for your life? Listen to me, man. If you'll man up, God has a plan for your life that you can't even ruin if you'll follow Jesus. If you'll follow Jesus. If you'll give all of your past, all of your sin, all of your decisions, all of your wrong, if you'll give it to Jesus, he says, I promise you, Romans chapter 12. Not only does he say it here in Genesis, he says it again in Romans 12. He says, I will turn all things to good. You have to start seeing everything in your life. And it's bad, it's wrong, it's unjust. They shouldn't have done that. This is not fair. You ever heard that one? No. You need to look through God's eyes, because God takes the unjust and unfair and turns them to good.
Can you trust him? That's what he wants. Lastly, here it is. You ready? Verse 21. Here it is. He says to his brothers, do you know why he cried when they asked him, when they lied to him and said, Dad told us you're supposed to treat us good? He starts crying because he realizes that everything he had done for them up to this point, they still didn't trust him. But he looks at them and he says these words, don't worry, I'll take care of you and I'll take care of your kids. I'll provide food, housing. I'm going to be so incredibly generous with you. Here's the key, the third key. If you're going to man up, you've got to show the image of God's love through your life. See, if you'll show the image of God's love through your life to the people that do you bad. You know what I love about America? We blow up Japan and then we rebuild her. We fight against their armies in Germany and we rebuild it. Why? Because somewhere in the history of this nation, Christian principle of showing the image of God to those who do us wrong was ingrained in our culture. The question today is it in your culture? Are you willing to man up, and when people hurt you, even people that you love, are you willing to man up and show them God's love with incredible generosity? Not just forgiveness, but incredible generosity. Because if you hold that grudge, what happens is the evil of the perpetrator becomes you. Now listen, because I got to give you this, and then we're going to close, because this is what changed everything for Junior. Here's what we find in the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verse 11. Matthew 11, verse 11. Now, this is an absolute blow-me-away verse of Scripture. Jesus is talking to his disciples. John the Baptist has just died. He's been killed. He was beheaded. And Jesus looks at his disciples and he says these words, Johnny in Matthew 11, 11. He said, John the Baptist was the greatest of all who have ever lived. No, wait a minute. He was greater than Daniel. He was greater. You talked about Daniel. But wait a minute. John the Baptist was greater. He was greater than Joseph. And then Jesus says these words. Listen to this. This is going to blow you away, men. Jesus says, but the least in the kingdom of God will be greater than all of them. Do you know what Jesus just said to you and to me? He said Daniel was great and Joseph was great because both of them withstood the suffering that they didn't deserve, and that was good, and they were great, and they didn't hold harshness, and they gave forgiveness, and they gave, listen, but he says, I want you to know that I'm also going to suffer at the hands of my brothers. But what does Jesus do? He says, I don't blame my brothers. God, the Father, my Father, caused me to suffer. What? You see, Joseph wasn't God. So him not sitting in the chair was good, but Jesus was God and was already in the chair. But he said, I'm going to step down out of the chair and I'm going to accept the cup of suffering from my Father and I'm going to die. I'm going to die so that you don't have to bear the suffering and die, but that you'll have eternal life. I am going to take your place. And that's why you can be greater than Joseph or Daniel, because of what Jesus did for you. Junior was sitting there that day, and it hit him. For the first time in his life, he understood that if you accept the grace of Jesus Christ to forgive you, how come Joseph could be humble? Because when Joseph was a spoiled brat strutting around in his multicolored coat trying to tell his brothers that they were going to eat out of his hand, God still loved him and gave him undeserved grace. And so he became a humble leader. But when Jesus humbled himself ultimately and became our servant and gave his life and took on hell that we deserved, when we're awed by the fact of the grace of the cross and what Jesus did, it gives us the power called the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be greater than Joseph. Did you hear me? Junior listened to the speaker that day. The speaker said, if you're here today and you have not received the grace of the cross and you have not received what Jesus did for you at the cross, then today the first thing you need to do is to receive Jesus. Because if you receive Jesus and you become awed, overcome by his grace, then you can climb the pinnacles. You can climb and you can become greater than Joseph. You can become greater. Junior grabbed the hand of his wife and his three-year-old son, and they walked to the front of that church that day. Tears were running down his face, and boy, am I glad he did, because I am that three-year-old son, and Junior is my father. And everything changed in our home that day, because my dad was so awed by the grace of what Jesus did that he received the power of the Holy Spirit and became greater than Joseph. Listen, in 1996, this very week, I flew home and I reached over and I closed the eyes of my father as he breathed his last breath. But when my father died, he was so different than when my father married my mother. Because he climbed these three pinnacles by the power of the Holy Spirit, living in the humility, awed by what Jesus had done for him. And everything changed in our home. And the same will happen for you. Would you bow your heads with me today? I must give the opportunity that they gave my father. I must give the opportunity. How many of you in this room would say, Sam, I remember the day I gave my life to Jesus. I surrendered everything to him. I gave him my all. And you say, I know today that my life has changed and I'm climbing those pinnacles. I've been awed by the grace of Jesus and what he did on the cross, and I'm living for him. And heaven is my home, and you're sure of it. Just throw your hand up if you're sure today. You may take it down. But there are some of you that are like my dad. Sam Farina Jr. I'm the third, and my son is the fourth. Some of you are like my dad. You've seen things happen in life, and they've not been easy. You've heard God exists, but he's been silent or hidden. Trouble has come.
Some of you are here today and you've never had the chance to say, I want Jesus. I want to be awed by his grace. I want to be greater than Joseph. If you couldn't lift your hand a moment ago, I'm going to count to three. And when I get to three, I want you to throw your hands straight up in the air. When you get to three, throw your hands straight up in the air on this Father's Day. Man up, just like my dad did, and say, I need Jesus. I can't do it in myself. If you couldn't lift it before, but you want Jesus today, throw it straight up. One, two, three. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. You may take it down. Now, come on, we're going to pray. Let's all pray together. Everybody in this room, with these who lifted their hand today, we're going to pray together with them. And maybe you didn't throw your hand up, but you said, I should have. Then pray this prayer. Pray with me right now. Let's pray together. Jesus, today, thank you that you went to the cross, that you're not angry at me today, that you haven't given up on me, that you paid the price for me. You drank the cup of suffering in my place so that I won't have to. Thank you, Jesus. I receive your grace. I receive your mercy. I receive your forgiveness. And today, Jesus, I receive your Holy Spirit because I want to be greater than Daniel. I want to be greater than Joseph. I want to be all that you've made me to be, God. Would you stand all over this room today? And I'm going to ask for men in this room. I'm going to ask for men in this room before Alan comes. I'm going to ask for men in this room on this Father's Day, whether you're a dad or not, if you're a male. But you want to climb the three pinnacles. You want to become someone who is willing to forgive and to give back to those who have committed evil against you in a generous, to show the love of God. And you want to come to that place where you want to get off the chair. You don't want to be in God's chair, and you're just going to humble yourself and trust God. And you're going to be in that place in your life. You're going to be in that place in your life where you are. You're going to say, I want to climb these three pinnacles. If you want that today as men, I want you just to lift your hand in this room today. I want to be greater than Joseph. I want to be greater than Joseph. Now, come on, ladies, would you just lay your hands maybe on those that are around you, those men, or would you stretch them towards these men? Because today, these are men who are willing and wanting to become greater than Joseph. They are wanting to be those who say, I'm going to man up. I'm going to man up today. I'm going to man up. And I'm going to make a decision here that's going to change everything in my life, everything in my life, everything in my life. I am going to be one of those today, in this room, where I am going to get off the chair that belongs to God, and I am going to quit. I'm going to be one of those. I'm going to be one of those who sees everything through God's eyes. I'm going to see everything through God's eyes. I want to see even the bad, that God is going to turn it to good. He's in control. And I am going to love. I'm going to be the image of God's love. And I'm going to show his love in ways that are greater than the rest of the world can understand, because it's God's ways. I'm willing to do that, Jesus. I'm willing to do that today. And we thank you for it today, God. We thank you for it today, God. We thank you for it today, God. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit can we do it. Just say this with me, men. Pray it with me. Holy Spirit, I need your help. Just like you helped Jesus, I need your help. I need you to make me greater. Greater than Joseph, I want to be like Jesus. Help me. Help me today. Help me today. Now, those of you, male and female, who lifted your hand to surrender to Jesus for the first time, or for the first time in a long time, or in a new way, Keith, lift your hand, Keith.
There he is, right there. And Denise are standing right there. Keith and Denise are waiting for you. So before you leave today, I want you to step over by Keith and Denise, okay? I want you to step over by Keith and Denise because they're gonna give you something that's gonna help you down the road. And this is what my dad did. He went that day to people just like Keith and Denise, and they gave him some materials, and everything changed. He started walking a new path. So I don't want you to miss this, okay? So here's what we're gonna do, okay? If you lifted your hand and you prayed that prayer with me and you surrendered to Jesus in a new way, and for the first time or in a new way today, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I don't want you to hesitate. And if you're with somebody or somebody's near you and they'll come to you and they'll say, I'll go. Why don't you do this? Why don't you just take the hand if you're with somebody, say, come with me. They will, all right? If there's someone near you that you think may want to come and receive this material, I want you to just ask them, would you like that material? I'll go with you. Just ask them. But here's what I'd like you to do. If you prayed that prayer with me earlier, just slip out of your seat and just walk right over here to Keith and Denise, right over there by that door. Just come right now, okay? Let's make it. Yep, that's it. There you go. Come on, this is great. This is gonna be a great Father's Day. Yep, they'll make room for you. Sure, this is great. Just slide right over there. Great, others are coming. This is great, there's others coming. This is great, thank you. This is great. Yeah, others? There's no hurry today. Yeah. Wow. One thing about Father's Day, you can be late. Mother's Day, you can't. Can I just thank you for letting me share? Because I'm here to tell you that my dad became so different from what he was to what he became before he died. And one day your own kids are going to say the same thing. One day people are going to say the same thing about you.